Welcome to Feminine. This is part two of our sex and pornography conversation. There are two things that I'd like to point out. The first one is my children can be heard in the background at certain points, as well as all sorts of little sound blunders that I felt were necessary to keep to help inform you as the listener in what it means to be feminine. Not all persons who identify as feminine have children, but I do. The second is, Rachel and I use a term called male gaze. It's really important for me to tell you that not all persons who identify as male have this gaze. However, when we use this term, we're talking about a cultural indoctrinated belief that has infiltrated the globe through colonization. This gaze, it eradicates space for the gray. It lives and thrives in rigid black and white thinking. The male gaze minimizes human beings and attempts to compartmentalize and label them in order to have control. The male gaze perpetuates violence against any individual who does not fit it according to what it wants. In that place, it's important to note that individuals in particular who may present as male but identify as feminine, femme, queer, etc., directly threaten the male gaze. So when we talk about pornography, when we talk about femininity, when we talk about womanhood, when we talk about feminism, we're not only talking about cisgender females, we're talking about all human beings that do not fit into this hyper-masculine male gaze. Pornography in particular provides us a platform to dissect the male gaze and to really hone in on how it impacts our cultural understanding of pleasure, our bodies, our wants, our needs, how to use our voices, how to speak up, why are we taught to be silent, what does it mean if you want something and you don't, etc. We are eradicating the male gaze by identifying it in our own lives, in the lives of the people we love, in our own behaviors, in our own likes and dislikes, and in that space, we're determining how to change so that we can dismantle the patriarchy and bring back the divine feminine, which is not a gender identity, but in fact, a practice that honors making and creating space for another human being, while recognizing that things of old, before they were colonized, were actually really valuable and necessary in order for human beings to be well-rounded, functioning creatures. If you would like to work with me one-on-one to discover how the divine feminine has been stifled in your life, you can go to priscillaclock.com. Our summer issue of Feminine Magazine launches June 21st. To contribute to the Feminine Project, you can go to paypal.me/Feminine Magazine. This episode is spunky, silly, all sorts of flawed, and you know what? I'm so ready for those things, girl. Enjoy.
For me, personally.
I think that, I mean, in my experience with sex, I think if you did it, like if my clitoris was neglected, I don't know if it would be as sexy for me.
Right. So you need a combination.
I do. I think I do. I think I want one, but I'm kind of like a full body, like kiss my neck, kiss my back, touch my everything. Are you like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's preferred, but I feel like, you know, real life, it's not always, I don't always get the
male gaze again.
Right.
Yeah. Because in a hyper-masculine culture, that would require time. And
exactly.
I mean, who wants to designate an hour and a half to 2 hours to sex when you've been with somebody for years on end?
Right. I feel like, but every time is different. So sometimes there's more than other times.
I'm all about it. Like something I've learned in my old age is like, you know what? If it takes me hours to labor my children, if it takes me hours, you know, to do, if I'm still waking up in the night to like cater to my babies because they still don't sleep through the night, then my partner can designate however much damn time needs to be designated for my entire body to feel insane before I have an orgasm. And that I'm never budging on it.
Dude, I love that. I love that. Dude, you spent hours in labor. You can get,
exactly.
You can get an hour or two with a full body.
Yes.
Full body loving, Seth.
Yes. Yes.
Dude, okay. I love that.
Yeah, you know what? My John actually prefers long sex. And I
really
do too. Yeah.
That's
awesome.
Do
you not?
I don't always, especially the intercourse part, I'll have to say.
Wait, what? Tell me
like
what you mean.
The actual intercourse part, I don't prefer to last long. That's me personally. I like oral sex. Like, I'm like an oral sex freak.
Good for you.
Yeah, giving and getting, but getting
That's
is
great.
Definitely really good. It's awesome.
See,
yeah,
I think this is such an important conversation because, look, we have different likes.
That's the thing. Everyone has different likes.
Yes.
And that's why, and you know what? It was so great because I think it's so important to talk about them with your partner when it's not sexy time. Because that's what I did with my partner. I was like, this was before anything even happened. We talked about, you know, contraception. We both went to, like, our school's, like, doctor and got tested. And I just talked about what I liked, what I didn't like. And, like, I think if you wait until the very, like, first time and you're getting it on, it's a little harder. And apparently, this is a little tidbit that I read. Someone found in Cosmo, which the Cosmopolitan, you know, they're supposed to be all about sex.
Yeah.
And there was an article where it was like how to like hint to him what you want in bed. And literally it was all weird hints. Like,
that's dumb.
If you want, it was never like just come out and say what you want. It was all like, like, show him your left boob if you want your left boob. Like,
Jesus.
It was like, move this way or laugh this way. It was like so weird. It was
what the hell?
I don't understand. I don't understand why it has to
reality.
Be the secret.
No.
Yeah, not reality. No.
That is an unhealthy, passive aggressive way of asking for something. And that is only conditioning women to think that they have to be silent.
Exactly. Yeah, it's this weird silent thing.
No.
Which I'm like, what the freak is that?
Yeah.
But I love knowing that like what I like and what you like totally kind of different.
Yeah.
But we're both ladies. We're both ladies, and like you're all about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Are you like tantric like Sting was? Like he was like that's like. Oh my God, Sting was like famous for like wanting tantric sex, which is like sex that can last like 10 freaking hours.
I probably am.
Really?
For me, I love you know what? I love it. I love when sex lasts for hours. I think it's delicious. I think it's fulfilling. I think it's invigorating and life-changing. And I think that there's no orgasm greater than one that peaks after you have been with your partner teasing each other for like 2.5 hours.
Wow. Okay, that to me is like mind-blowing. I mean, maybe when I'm older I can go there, but to me that sounds almost, you gotta remember I'm East Coast, you're West Coast, like maybe if
that's true,
you know, like I got a little like bratty today because my lunch took longer than it should have. And I didn't say anything,
girl.
But like I have that East Coast mentality.
Yeah.
I don't know if that runs over into my my, like, I want my orgasms quick and fast. Just like, wow. I want my, like, food. I mean, I kind of have that with all of my, like, food and everything. I'm kind of like, well, I'm highly neurotic, which they're bad at delaying pleasure. And I don't think you're like that.
You know what? I am grateful because something I love about my partner is that he gives me permission to embrace pleasure.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, he really does. And I think it's easy for me to deny myself pleasure because it's like a punishment thing. You know, it's, I can really get caught up in this space where it's like, no, like, I don't deserve anything good because I haven't finished this project or I'm not perfect, so to speak.
Aww.
Yeah, it's really? Pretty. Mm-hmm. It's pretty, it's intense.
Does mom guilt play a factor?
Oh, yeah. Mom guilt, entrepreneurial pressure, just, you know, recovering as a human being, you know, in and of itself can really create a posture for me to kind of resort to perfectionism and and you know what, this is so interesting. I actually watched an interview with Beyonce once and she has a similar posture.
What do you mean?
She's just so focused and so committed to her craft and so convinced of her destiny and so rigid about her art. And I have such a very similar perspective. She said in this interview, I will go without eating, without sleeping, without using the bathroom for hours.
What?
I do the exact same thing.
Okay, was this like an old quote or was this like recent, like her most recent album, Lemonade, which is my all-time most favorite album of all time?
Okay, Lemonade, phenomenal, beautiful piece of art. The only album that Beyonce's come out with that I actually decided, okay, I think she's legit. I know. But this interview was probably, I would say within the past 3 to 5 years.
Okay. Because she doesn't do many interviews anymore. So I would imagine it probably was a little older. But I do think that I can see that work ethic in her. And I bet you in women, people call it controlling or like control freaks. Yeah, when actually it's just how to get shit done. I mean, she's Beyonce.
Yeah.
And I think she learned that young with her dad, who apparently is like a tyrant. But but yeah, like I can't imagine being that focused since what, like 5 or whatever. She's, I think that would be like amazing and kind of insane, but also she got a lot of shit done.
Yes. Well, that's
so you're like that with your sex life?
No, not with my sex life, but like as a human being. So like when it comes to sexuality, and just so our listeners know, these are two women hosting the show. I'm nursing a baby right now. If you hear her in the background, it's because I don't have a babysitter. So there you go. No, this, it doesn't permeate my sex life. Sex is a moment for me to let it go. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's just so great to just spend hours letting it go.
It's
very therapeutic. After I have sex, I feel like a restored human being.
That's awesome.
How do you feel?
I feel awesome. Like sometimes I cry a little bit, but I always am just like, dude, this is the best.
You cry?
I've cried a little bit afterwards. Yeah, I do this thing where I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, I do a little like, I love you so much.
Oh my gosh, it's really beautiful.
yeah, that's always fun.
Sex is magic.
Sex is magic, and it's really important in a relationship. Like, it is so important. It's really, 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 really important.
Very important.
Oh. Well, I just wanted to say in that category of what women search for, they also search they put in for women. So there is this craving for female oriented porn. They also search for MILF,
which I thought was understated. Yeah,
normalization.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so apparently this is the new popular thing with women, which I've never heard of, but massage, which is literally just a woman getting massaged and then sexually stimulated. And apparently the idea is like women are, they find it desirable because it shows a woman actually being comfortable, where a lot of porn. Yeah.
These so are that, really heartbreaking truths.
I know, right? Like, I found this really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like human, right? Like, we're not just objects. We're humans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, oh my gosh. I mean, at the end of the day, I know this is so important and I may be like empathing it a little bit, but gosh, I mean, what a crazy world to live in, and where you just want to see a video of a woman being touched like a human being so that it can make you feel sexy.
It's crazy. Yeah, I know, right? There's such a need. Mm-hmm. So, okay, what two countries do you think have the most women watching porn? Like the it makes up 35% of their countries. It's two countries in the world that make up 35%. So that's like a third of their country's traffic. What?
The United States of America.
Actually, no.
What?
I know. I was shocked.
Are you kidding me?
I was shocked by this. I think they're up there, but no.
Is it France?
No.
Mexico.
No. I mean, what this is hard because we're talking the... Okay, the first one starts with a B.
Britain. Belgium.
No. I love.
Brazil?
Yes.
Oh, Brazil? Okay.
And the second one, I don't think you will ever guess. It's Brazil and the Philippines.
The Philippines? What? My mind is blown. What?
I know, right? So Brazil, like, the women are really, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, who knows what that really means. But in U.S., 25% of viewers are women. So 35% versus 25%. In what states do you think in the United States have the highest female traffic? Would you guess northern states, southern states, east coast, or west coast?
I would guess Midwest.
Okay, you're kind of close. It's Mississippi, Georgia, and South Carolina, which is like kind of like southern, like in the middle.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, okay. Yeah, I was definitely thinking, I mean... I'm not going to take the credit, but yes, I had a similar idea.
Okay. Yeah. I would have thought East Coast, but that's just me.
Really?
Yeah, I would have guessed East Coast, and I don't know. Maybe that's because, I don't know. I just would have thought that. Interesting. So in California, what do you think one of the most popular search terms among women is?
In California?
This is kind of a funny one. It starts with a B, two words.
A B and it's two boob job.
Close, big tits. Big tits, that's women like really. Oh, and in Pennsylvania, God. Where I live, bondage apparently is really popular.
Bondage?
What bondage?
The hell?
Among women, yeah, and. So I also love this. In Australia, it's Asian, which I think is so weird. What? But and in France, it's mature, which I think is adorable. Oh,
that's special.
That is special.
I appreciate that.
I just have a few more tidbits. So, okay, this freaked me out. And tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
Apparently in 2015, the top... This was like 2015 and 2016. The top search. Now, this is like just top search. This isn't just women. The top of the list was stepmom and son.
Ew!
Like, apparently, a big... Yeah.
I'm sorry. No offense to any listeners. I'm shocked.
It's so weird. Apparently, men men search for stepmom and son, and women search stepdad and daughter. Like, doesn't that blow your mind?
Where is this?
Okay. This is just in all of their data. This is everywhere. So this is just all on Pornhub in the past.
Can I really tell you what I think this is pointing to?
Please tell me, because it baffles me.
I think it's pointing to a disconnect in how we're raising our children. I think it's pointing to an emotional absence in caretakers and I think it's directly pointing to this idea that we want to be nurtured, ultimately.
Interesting.
Like, when we have sex, we want to be nurtured. There's an emotional void.
Almost like a daddy or a mommy. Like, like, just please mommy, please daddy. Like, that type of thing?
Interesting. Yeah, I think what would be sexy about doing it with your stepdad, if I could even come, I mean, for me, this is never anything I've thought of, but I imagine what it would be is like, well, he's a caretaker, he's comforting, he's not in my bloodline, so it's not disgusting,
right?
To the extent that it could be, and he's gonna maybe like be more gentle.
You think? I think of it as this like transgressive thing. Like, this is so raw. Like, this is like a very raw. I don't know. Like, I can't actually wrap my head around it. Like, I also don't know. Like, with men, I don't know if it's some weird like little girl thing, but women apparently doing it too, but not as much. But I don't know. I think your spin is really nice. I like thinking of it that way. I kind of thought of it as this is so taboo, because apparently now there's like stepbrother, stepsister. Like, apparently step.
What step, the hell?
Yeah. It's like apparently a big thing. I like the comforting idea. I can't understand it.
So I guess maybe the alternative would be like, oh, let's do this most scandalous thing we could do.
Right.
Oh, geez.
Right. Like, maybe it's like so scandalous, but like you said, it's not like bloodline. The other thing that creeped me out was, the power dynamic theme. Like, in 2010, the top was Year of Casting Couch. This is like a very, like, in my opinion, a very rapey scene where it's like a male like director, and he's like, oh, you want a part, you have to have sex with me. So for me, I think that's like a rape dynamic. And
yeah,
then
they're
right. And so in the article, they were saying, oh, and the man persuades the woman. For me, geez. I'm like, okay, that's a rape situation, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and there's also this fake cop, fake taxi driver, fake like, where it's like these, again, a power dynamic where like a woman can't pay for a taxi, and so then it is pretty much raped to get out of the taxi. Like, so that part freaks me out. But they said that there are some videos, and I thought this would be so good. It's almost like you said, what that other website does interviews with them before and afterwards. They said some videos will do an interview before and afterwards and explain, oh, this wasn't real, and we, you know, we were just acting that out. I think that would be nice to do before and after stuff like that, just to kind of explain to, like, so that whole thing, I guess, isn't even surprising, really. But and that was among men. Like, that's not among women. And another big one, a search term, was teen, which is disgusting to me. But apparently another big one among men and women is MILF. So I felt like that.
You know what? Because it's sexy to have a mature woman who's empowered.
Exactly. And it's, you, like, know, in the porn world, a MILF is like 25 and up, though. You know that, right?
Ew. Are you serious?
Yeah. This is something that I learned.
What?
Like, I would think MILF would be like a 45-year-old and up. No, like,
yeah.
I've seen videos where they're like MILF and the woman's maybe 25.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. I think they put us in two categories, either teen or MILF.
Oh, okay. So this is the hyper-masculine lens again. You're either, oh my God, you know what? That's ridiculous. That's
right.
Very ridiculous and very much not healthy. And again, right. Going back to this male gaze, like you mentioned, it's like, mm-hmm. Get real. That's not reality.
Yeah. That part. So that is a bummer. I wanted to follow that up with some nicer stats. So in between 2014 and 2015, romantic sex among women, that was a search term that grew 125%. And in my opinion, I wonder if that was because of like Tinder getting very popular and maybe women were so... Like, Tinder can be kind of hard to deal with, and they were searching for romantic sex. But again, goes to that whole, like, thing where I have to look up Erica Lust and looking for that couple, because I think that would be good. And the last thing I will say, so guess what an interesting phenomenon for the Women's March was? And how do you think March affected traffic to Pornhub on that day?
I couldn't even guess. Tell me.
Traffic was down 20%. The drop was shared between men and women. So and it rebounded after 8 p.m. So the Women's March was so powerful. Wow. It cut traffic to Pornhub 20%.
That's exciting.
Isn't that amazing?
That's really amazing and exciting. And the most exciting thing that I could hope for. I mean,
right?
Yes, absolutely. That's great. Wonderful news. So glad to hear that. What a great place to end.
Yeah, I wanted to end on a kind of a high note.
Yes. Sorry, I'm also simultaneously talking to my children.
Hi, guys. They're so cute.
Thank you. Thank you for these incredible statistics. What a refreshing perspective. What a reminder that we have power and that when we make choices, it actually impacts things on a global scale. When we come together to do that.
Womanhood is powerful.
Yes, it is. This is Real Life Women discussing real life womanhood. This is an example of feminine.